Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Dear God, and we just glorify you today. We pray, dear God, that you even speak further than what I even have in my mind and what I even have in my notes. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Somebody say amen. All right. We've been continuing on What Do You Believe? The series. I've been doing this since the new year. This might be the longest series, but I break it up so they don't have the same title. But when we think about what do you believe, one thing that my dad was talking about, and just some of us that are going through things, guess what? Life will try to knock off what you believe. Did you know that? As you go through life, the circumstances, especially that the enemy places in front of you, are there to try to get you to stop believing. Amen? Believing is power. When you believe God and you believe his word, as we talked about God's word, we believe who God is, we believe who Jesus is. As we believe those things, I even told you guys last week, the philosophy of the world is to go against that. So every day we are battle. When you go to your work, to your job, you tell somebody you're a Christian, some people is like, okay, he's one of them Christians. Okay, you know, and as we go through life, there is a battle, so we have to know what we believe so that we can continue in what we believe. Amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. I know some of us are going through different battles, but guess what? Your battles should not change what you believe. Amen? It should make you grab a hold more firmly of what you believe. Amen? If you fall off, guess what? The enemy has done his job. The enemy wants you to stop believing. The enemy wants to make you doubt what God's word says, make you doubt that you're not who God has called you to be. But guess what? God is there to help and confirm you believing. Amen? And that's what we are here to do. We are here to help confirm what our beliefs are as well. So this is why this has been in my spirit this whole time, and I'm just excited about God because he keeps giving me different things to talk about when we talked about belief. Last week, I talked about what do you believe about yourself? Guess what? What you believe about yourself is more than half the battle, right? If you believe that you are not good enough, guess what? You're not going to be good enough. You have to believe that you're good enough. And I'm going to tell you a secret. Get people around you that will encourage you and say, yes, you are good enough. Don't get people around you that's going to tell you, man, you're not good. You ain't never going to be nothing. You're not going to make it. Because when you have those people in your life, if you don't know who you are, you're going to receive what they tell you. Amen. So we had to look at what God said about us, what we believed about ourselves. And we're going to continue. Today, we're going to talk about what do you believe God has called you to do, okay? So we're going to say, what do you believe God has called you to do? Somebody say, what do I believe God has called me to do? Because guess what? It's not just to get saved, all right? We talked about being saved. Being saved is accepting that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, asking him for forgiveness of our sins, and walking in salvation. But part of walking in salvation is knowing what God called you to do. And there's specific assignments that God has for each and every one of us. Amen. Some people think that the only people that have assignments are pastors and leaders, but every member of the body of Christ has a specific assignment that God has called them to do. Everybody say, I have an assignment. All right. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I'm going to start there. And we're looking in all of these things for the assignment that God has given us. Amen. And you don't have the notes, so you're just going to have to follow with me, Mike. Romans 8, verse 28. Now, this is a key scripture. A lot of people have quoted this a lot, but let's look into this real quick. It says, and we know, somebody say, and we know, that all things work together for good to those who love God, right? Love God. That's number one. Our number one assignment is to love God. We can break it down like that. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called. All right. So loving, once you love God, guess what? You are called. All right. So if you love God, he's called you on an assignment. This doesn't say that, okay, you got to quit your job. You know, if you're working at the bank like Trisha, we're not telling you to quit your job, right? If you're a lawyer, we're not saying quit that. But even besides your job, you have a call, right? Now, sometimes a pastor, his job may be pastor, but guess what? His call goes beyond just the pulpit, right? So it doesn't matter where you are, you have a call to do the work of God. Amen? So it says, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, this is very important. Your calling has to line up with his purpose. Okay? If it doesn't, guess what? That wasn't God's call. Anybody ever got the wrong number called you before? Right? And they're like, hey, you did. Like this week, somebody called me and said, you called a taxi. And I was like, taxi? I didn't call no. I'm sitting in the car right now. I didn't call no taxi. And he's like, yeah, you called. I said, look, I didn't call it. You got the wrong number. Hang up, right? Now, we all got stories about the wrong people calling us. But guess what? The devil's going to call you, making you think it's the call of God, right? You guys know that? Anybody know that? The devil is going to call you and tell you, hey, you should do this. But if it doesn't line up with the will of God, then it's the wrong call. Amen? And you need to block that number, okay? I love the new phones now. If you got people that are calling you from wrong numbers, now don't do this to your bill collectors, okay? Answer the bill collectors. Tell them what's going on. It'll help you, actually. But when these other people call you and they're like, you've won, hey, I'll be like, man, I'm blocking this number so I don't have to deal with that, right? We have to do the same thing to the enemy, amen? So part of the assignment is to love God, to be called according to his purpose. But in order to know his purpose, we got to be in the word. Amen. You will not see a lot of people want God to speak to them. But if you don't read the Bible, you will not hear God's voice. You guys catch that? If you want to hear God speak, you must read the word of God, because God's word, just like it says, it's his word. That's how he speaks. As you're going through a situation, he'll bring a scripture to your remembrance. He'll bring a scripture that says, man, okay, Lord, I'm dealing with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Monica, you feeling like, oh, man, I'll trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It's not looking good right now. God is saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So even when you're looking for your call, acknowledge God in all your ways and he'll direct. Amen. So when it looks like, okay, maybe I'm in a situation and I don't know what to do. If I'm mad at God, I'm not acknowledging him in all my ways. If you're acknowledging him at that point, you're doing it the wrong way. Right? Well, yeah, I'm going to tell God what's going on. God knows what's going on. But he says, acknowledge me. All right? Put yourself below me. Just trust me so that I can move in that situation. So what I'm saying is, if you want God to hear, you want to hear God's call, you have to be in the word. And it's not just coming to church and hearing the word. It's learning to get it on your own. What I started to do, the first thing I do is, everybody grabs their phone when they wake up, right? Probably it's your alarm, your phone. These phones these days are everything, right? So I made a point in my mind, the first thing I do is turn the alarm off, and then I start reading the Bible, right? I just get in and read a chapter. So that's the first thing I do on my phone. Before that, I would check my stock. I would check emails, check my text messages, you know what I'm saying? But I was like, let me put God first in this situation. Let me get in and read the word. And that's a simple thing to do. As we train ourselves, the first thing we do is, okay, I'm going to open the word. Let me just read the Proverbs for the day. Or let me read something, whatever the scripture of the day is. Let me read that chapter so that I can get God's word in me so I can get prepared for this day. So what I'm doing is I'm acknowledging God first. And that's what we got to do. Amen? Amen. It says, verse 29, for whom he foreknew, you got it up there, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. All right? That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he called. So God is the one that calls us. But guess what? Who he calls, these he also justified. You see, some of us, when God called us, we come up with these excuses. I'm not good enough. I'm the wrong person. But it says right there, he justified. He made you the right person. You see the power of God? See, the thing about us is we can have an excuse for everything, right? We can have an excuse for not taking out the garbage. My excuse might be, man, it's dark. I'll just wait till the morning, right? That's my excuse sometimes, too. I use it. I'll tie it up and throw it at the door so I won't forget it, right? But we have an excuse for all things. But God, when he calls you, he removes the excuse. He says, your excuse is not good enough. You thought you weren't good enough, but I justified you. I put you in the right position. Not only did I justify you, he says, these he also glorified. So once he puts you in the right position, you accept the call. You might not be worthy. None of us are. But he will justify you and he will allow your life to be glorified and glorify him. Amen. Now, look at this. If you're glorified and it has nothing to do with God, you got the wrong call. If somebody comes to you and all they think about is, hey, Precious, you're just such a good person. We love you. And they don't never recognize that it's God, or you don't tell them that it's God. You're moving in the wrong call. Because what happens is the devil, he wants to glorify you. Because if the devil glorifies anybody except God, he's cool with that. So when we are glorified or when we are lifted up, this is why I love athletes like Russell Wilson, who is always quick to share something about God. Even in the middle of the crisis that he goes through, if they played a bad football game, I just want to bless God. After the game, they'll go pray. So he's using that platform, and all of us have a platform God has given us, and we need to use that same platform to glorify God. Amen? Amen. That's your assignment. Amen. To love God, to answer the call, and glorify him. Amen? Amen. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you got it, say amen. All right. We'll wait for a couple more people. All right. Here we go. Michael got it up there. But in a great house, somebody say a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor and some for dishonor. All right. So what is this saying? We got, even in our own houses, we have vessels that are honorable, right? Might cost a lot of money. And then you have some that are dishonorable. Probably the most dishonorable possession in our houses is the toilet. Right? It gets dishonored every time somebody uses it. Right? But guess what? Hey, it serves its purpose. Take a toilet out your house, you're going to have a problem. But this is what it's saying. Even in the house of God, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Now, I'm not going to say nobody's the toilet. That's not what we're saying with this. But there might not be somebody, you might not be as high ranked as somebody. But guess what? God doesn't even dishonor his vessels. It says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, which means that dishonorable person, If he cleanses himself, he will be a vessel for honor. So you see that. So even the dishonorable, we were all dishonorable at one moment in our life until we were cleansed by the righteousness of God. So now he says you are a vessel of honor. Okay. He will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, we've heard a lot of people in church say, you're not supposed to do works. Let me tell you this. Works will not get you into heaven. But once you have accepted Jesus, you have an obligation to do good works. You have an obligation because we're talking about our assignment. It says he will sanctify you and you need to be useful for the master for every good work. Amen. So we're looking at our assignment. We have to be used. We're just saying, master, hey, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to be used. And some of us pray that, right? God, I just want you to use me, Lord. We sang a song about him moving in others. God, I want you to move in my life, right? So that, God, you can be glorified so people can see who you are. I'm one of them people that I don't want my life to just go on and nobody get impacted. My whole goal in life is to impact people. Amen. If I'm in the bank, I'm trying to impact that bank teller. If I'm walking on the street, just going on a hike, I'm going to impact whoever I come in contact with. And even if I don't say anything to them, I may begin to pray. When Precious was in the hospital, they had people next door to her, people younger than us dealing with health issues. And I just began to pray. Dear God, touch them, God. I want you to heal them, Lord. Whatever the situation is, begin to move and touch them now. Why do I do that? Because I want God in me to impact those people. Amen. So we have to be useful for the master. That's our assignment. But then it says this, flee also youthful lusts. You guys catch that? So our assignment is to be useful, but we got to get rid of some things to be useful. So we have to flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Okay. Then it says, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Now, some of us like to get into arguments, right? You ain't got to raise your hands, but some of us like arguing. My dad likes arguing. That's why he's a lawyer, right? Somebody's telling on somebody else. But when you argue, when you're dealing with some people are already argumentative, right? Now, I was telling a story with my parents about the guy that came and towed my truck. He went a little bit too far. And, you know, I called him. I was like, bro, you went too far. And he was like, that ain't the address you gave me. He's tripping, right? And I'm like, sir, just come back down the hill. I'm right here. And he was like, I got to go. And he was upset. And he came down and, you know, I'm still talking to him. Hey, how's your day going? It was good until you gave me the wrong address. And I was like, dang. So I'm just like, wow, he's tripping about it. So I'm like, hey, sir, I'm sorry about that. You know, sometimes your phone or our phones may send the wrong place because this is the address that my phone said I was at. And, you know, as time went on, he kept trying to argue about a whole bunch of things. And I was like, after a while, I was like, listen, sir, I'm not arguing. Whatever you say. He told me one price. When he got there, he was like, I have to change the price. And I was like, why? Why you got to change the price? You told me that. And he was like, and I said, okay, listen, whatever you need to do, just go ahead and do it, right? I'm not tripping about it. Just let's figure it out. So as he kept doing that, after a while, he realized that wasn't going to work with me. I wasn't going to argue with him. So he was like, man, I can't charge you the other price. I got to give you my word. I told you his whole attitude changed. And I was like, praise the Lord. Because, you know, when you're dealing with people that's ready just to argue about everything, like, it's like, oh, man, I can't wait till I get done with this. But by the end, he was telling me how to do certain stuff. He had a car like mine, and he was like, this is what I did. He was excited, and he was like, is everything good? And, you know, he was a Muslim guy, but just me being able to speak to him, I was able to share the light of Christ to him. Amen. And you know, just encouraged him, and I said, hey, I pray that your business does well and things like that. What I began to do is, instead of being argumentative with him, I began to change the atmosphere by still keeping my composure, because, you know, we all got an argumentative side to us, right? Our wives and husbands and wives know about the argumentative side. Even the kids, they get it too sometimes. But we must not get into disputes, amen? Especially about the house of God. The worst thing that you as a Christian could do is argue with another Christian in front of a non-believer. Right? Why? Because what they see is they don't even get along. And they trying to get me to come join that. Right? So when people see people fighting as believers over stupid things, most of the time it's always, my kids tell me not to say that word anymore, but most of the time it's ridiculous things that they're arguing over, right? That are not going to change whether they're going to heaven or hell, but they're arguing over these things because they want to be right. But guess what? God is the only one that's right. And we have to accept his righteousness. Amen? So avoid disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And it says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. This is even what I talked about in the story, but be gentle to all. So even when you're dealing with somebody that's quarrelsome, you be gentle. Say, I need to be gentle. And then it says, able to teach and be patient. Now check this out. Patience is a crazy thing. Look, I don't even pray for more patience no more. Because every time I do that, I'm going to be tested on that. So I say, God, I thank you to God for the patience that you've given me. Right? And God still knows. I mean, every time I get ready to say that word, I just start laughing with God and be like, okay, I know I got to work on my patience. It's coming. So, I mean, patience is one of those things that we are still all learning. Your patience will be tested. Amen? And if you fail that test, you know you got something to work on. But it says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. So even when people come in opposition to the word of God, we do it humbly. Okay? We don't argue and be like, man, you're so ridiculous. Trying to stay away from those words my kids told me to stop saying. You're so ridiculous. Every time you don't even know what you're talking about, that's not the real God. Your God is fake. Your God is false. We don't do that. I was talking to one of my friends. He moved to Atlanta. I went to Shoreline Community College with him. And as he was talking, he was saying how his mom was a Buddhist and his dad was a Muslim. So he was a Muslim Buddhist, right? And as a Muslim and a Buddhist, there were already conflicts because Buddhists don't believe that there is a God, right? But Muslims believe that Allah is God. So he was like, I couldn't be a Buddhist all the way, even though my mom was one, because I knew that there had to be a God. So he ended up going to church and, you know, at that time he was a young guy. He was just going to church to see the girls, right? But as praise and worship went forth, look, nobody had to argue with him. He was in there, oh, Allah's God, da, 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 in the church saying that, right? But as praise and worship went forth, he felt the anointing of God, and it broke him down. He started crying, and he was like, I don't even know why I'm crying, right? Snotted up, and he's trying to hide it, and he's like, what's going on? But the power of God touched his life. And check it out. What I'm trying to say is, if you allow the power of God to flow in your life, maybe you're in a situation where everybody's in turmoil, but when you begin to start worshiping God, you change the atmosphere. And guess what? When God is being worshiped, the Bible says, when I am lifted up, I will draw men unto me. Amen? So what we must learn to do is not come at these people harsh who don't believe. Show them what it means to believe. Show them how you believe. Amen. And it says, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. And check this out. It's not you that's going to get somebody saved. Do you guys know that? You can be the best philosopher. And this is why you got to be careful, because sometimes people think, oh, I know everything. I could just share this word and they're going to get saved. Guess what? God must touch their lives, not you. Amen. Now, God can use you to touch them, but he's the one that's going to touch them. So if you think you know it all, then I'm just going to get this guy saved today. You're moving in the wrong call. Right? Because this is not a tally mark. Oh, I got another saved. It's good to get people saved, but don't think you're doing it. It's only God. Amen. And it says, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Now, remember, I told you earlier, there's a will of God, but the devil, as it said, is taking people captive to do his will. The devil is teaching people his will. You guys know that? Check it out. Everything that God has, the devil has a counterfeit. I was talking to my friend, as I was saying, he was talking about, as a Muslim, you know, they might not feel the Spirit of God. And I said, yeah, they won't feel the Spirit of God, but they'll feel a different spirit. Right? Because the spirit of the devil is trying to teach you that this is God, even though it's not. So when you are dealing with these things, you must know God's word. So you know God's will. Amen. And not your own. All right. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25. We're still talking about your assignment. There's a lot going on, so I hope you're catching it. And check this out. If you guys are ever listening to the sermon and you need to go back, you can always get us on iTunes by going to search a New Creation Christian Center, or going to our website, newcreationwa.org, and you can hear the sermons on demand. You can just press play and get them in your spirit, even if you miss church. Amen. And that's good, because sometimes you might need to hear something so that it stays in your spirit throughout the week. Amen. Hebrews 10, verse 19 says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. All right, this is our assignment right here. Let us draw near. Somebody say, draw near. Drawing near to God is huge. Amen. I'm going to finish that in a second. But when it says draw near, you have to pursue God. Guys, get that? You have to go after God. If you don't go after God, guess what? God is not leaving you. He's not going to be like, hey, well, I'm going to just keep on backing up. But what happens is, if you're not drawing near to God, you're drawing near to something else. Amen. So we must draw near to God. What does that mean? Get close to God. Spend time with God. Spend time praying. Spend time worshiping. My prayer time is, as soon as I drop my daughter off, I turn the music off. Even if my other kids are in the car, I pray until I get to the house. That way I can spend time with God. I know how much. I got 30 minutes before I get back home, and I'm just praying. And I even hear my kids start praying. Amen. But what I do is I utilize that time so that I can pray. So then when I get to the house, if I still got time, I just go in and say, okay, God, I want to hear you speak now. I saw all the people driving, trying to make sure I'm safe. Now, Lord, I can close my eyes for a little bit to hear what you have to say. We have to draw near to God. Amen. So it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, with our bodies washed with pure water. Okay, so let us draw near to God in a true heart full of faith. Okay, so when we go to God, we don't go to God like, oh, God, I hope you hearing me. Anybody have somebody pray over you and they say, God, I hope you do this, right? If it's your will, God, man, don't pray that stuff over me. I need you to pray that God move. Amen. So you got to have faith. I've had this happen a couple weeks ago. I was like, can you pray for my wife? And he was like, God, if it's in your will, if you feel like it's okay, God. It's like, man, this is not faith. You're coming to God with doubt. You're not even sure if your prayer is working. So when you draw near to God, you have to believe, full of faith, that he's able to do what you've asked in him to do. Amen. And when you have faith, you know that you don't pray something that's outside of the will of God. Right? You don't pray something that's outside of the will of God and say, okay, God, do this, because you understand what faith is. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. So if I'm full of faith, I've heard the word of God and I know his voice and I know how to pray. Amen. It says, let us hold fast. Somebody say, hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Once again, we have to hold on to the salvation that God has given us. We've confessed that we are saved. We must hold on to that. Because like I said, the devil's going to tell you, you're not saved. That prayer, you think that prayer did it for you? Right? I mean, you didn't even read your word for a week. The Bible says the devil is accuser of the brethren. He's before God accusing you. God, he did it to Job, right? We know the story. God, you ain't Job, and he gonna fall. He's weak. Still trying to stay away from my kids' words. He's weak. That ain't the guy. And what did God say? See, this is powerful. God said he won't break. Right? Now, God said that, but guess what? Job had to walk out not breaking. And you know, some of us, it would be great, and God is saying that about us, but it would be great if it just happened as soon as he said it, right? Oh, he's not going to break. But he went through years of torture and still didn't break because he was full of faith. Amen? And I'm going to tell you this. When you're going through a storm, it doesn't look like hallelujah, praise Jesus. It don't look like that. It looks like, God, why have you forsaken me, Lord? You put me in this dry place. I don't know what's going on, God. Can you do something? But God already said, hey, you're going to make it. God already said you're going to make it, but it's that trial and that test that come, as I spoke before I started preaching, that's going to try to knock your belief out of the way, to knock your faith out the way. But God's word, amen, God's word will keep you in the midst of the battle. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So our assignment is to hold fast to our confession, to our belief, and consider one another. Amen? So what does it look like when we consider one another? That means we don't put ourselves, we're not always about ourselves, right? The number one problem that people have with Christians is they're all about themselves. They do it in many ways. Some of them think they're, quote unquote, holier than thou. Some of them are just about their money, right? I mean, when you watch a TV show, every Christian is a selfish person, right? All the time. Oh, he's a Christian. Yeah, he's robbing somebody. Because they're selfish. But God tells us to consider one another in order to stir up love, okay? And good works. There goes that word again, good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, okay, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. What is that talking about? That's talking about what we do here. We assemble together so that we could grow together in Christ. See, church is not just some ritual somebody made up. It's to encourage us so that as we go throughout the week, we can do the word of God. We could do the works of God. Amen. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. We talked about that a while ago, exhorting, lifting them up. And so much more as you see the day approaching. So even as Jesus is getting closer and closer, we have to encourage people more and more. Because your beliefs are being tested more and more. Amen? I was listening to something, I can't remember, but they were just talking about how the world has changed and things that they thought would never be in place when they were kids are now in place. Right? I just saw something on the, I think it was Facebook, talking about by 2017, they're going to have implants in every human being, right? You know, it's just stuff like this. We heard about this stuff, but now it's being implemented. And while it's being implemented, the world is trying to knock off what the church believes. They're trying to wipe it out so that we don't continue to move in faith. But God says, continue to encourage one another. Exhort one another in God, because as the day gets closer to him coming, we're going to need that. Amen. You ever went to church and you just needed some encouragement because you're already dealing with a lot. You felt like you can't make it, but somebody comes and touches you and say, God told me to tell you that you're going to make it. I don't know what your situation is, but God is powerful and he's able to help you through it. And you get encouraged. Amen. To go throughout the rest of your week. And that's the purpose of the church. Amen. And some of us, we might not be down, but there might be things in our lives that we need to be spoken about or corrected on so that we can move forward in the word of God and in who God has called us to be and who he has assigned us to be. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1-2. Couple pages over, says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. All right. Now, what is the weight? It says, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So you have sin. That's part of the weight. But sometimes that weight is your disbelief. Right. Your circumstances. Cares of this world. I mean, the Bible said that as he's planted seeds, that some left because the cares of the world sucked them dry, took the seed out. Right? They were in it for a minute. They tried it, but the cares of this world, the weights of this world, I got a weight that's coming right now. I was telling my mom, they trying to raise our homeowners' dues. Right? That's a weight. I was late because of that weight, right? And I was like, oh, my goodness. But I've been telling my wife and something I've just been saying, when everything looks like it's just going to be hectic, trust God. Be calm, trust God, and say, God, okay, I don't think I can handle this, but I know that your word says I will never be forsaken. My seed will never be begging bread. Amen. And when you're facing these things, you have to trust God. Get rid of the weights. Guess what? Your weights will keep you from worshiping God. Your weights will keep you from getting into your word because you feel like you don't have time for that because you're hustling and bustling trying to make it on your own. But when you get rid of the weights, you look and see that, man, God, the Bible says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You give him the weight and he'll take it. And once you do that, you're like, man, if I would have just been doing this a few years ago, I would be great because I know that I could trust God and he is faithful and just. Amen. So it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. OK, so we got to get rid of this stuff and for our assignment. And then it says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, what's this one's name over here? Bella. Okay. Bella is always running, right? In soccer, if you stop running, what happens, Bella? You get tired? I get tired when I run. But she stops running when she's tired. I know what she said. But if you stop running with the rest of the team, there's a hole in the team now, right? Because you have a part to play, okay? Now, some of us, we stop running because we think our part is not good enough. Now, I used to play baseball, and, you know, when I was in baseball, I was in the outfield, right? And you never got a ball hit over there. So you just over there daydreaming, looking at the stars. Like, then when the ball gets hit your way, you don't see it. So everybody's like, hey, the ball's coming, you know. And then you're like, oh, man, shoot. What happened was I lost sight of my role, right? And it's important that we don't. So we have to stay locked in the game. We got to stay locked, even if it doesn't look like something's coming our way. Like in football, the safety is the last guy. If that safety is just standing there like, man, nobody's getting through my front line. Ain't, you're not going to get through. And matter of fact, he's so cocky, he starts to sit down. One play, they're going to bust through. And you're the only one that can get them. Amen? So even in our walk with Christ, we got to know our role. We have to be in position and endure even when it doesn't look like things are going to happen. Amen? Even when it doesn't look like God is faithful, we have to endure and trust. Then it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, somebody say, look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Okay? So check this out. Your faith that you have, God is the author of that faith, which means he wrote it. I mean, it's crazy because when you think of faith, I talked about you get faith by hearing and hearing of the word of God. He's the author of that faith. But guess what? When you walk in God, he's the finisher of that faith. All right? So you endure in the middle of that so that he will be the author and the finisher of our faith. When you're enduring, you look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Why is Jesus the author? Because he did it already. He went through it. He finished it because he said it is finished. Now we look unto him because he's going to be help us get to a place where we say it is finished as well. Amen. It says the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Listen to that. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He had to endure the cross. We talk about the things we must endure. The cross was not something that Jesus looked at and was like, I can't wait to do that. I got joy. That's not the joy that it was talking about. It wasn't saying he was joyful to go to the cross. He was joyful that his death on the cross would bring life to all of us who accepted him. Amen. And whatever your situation is, we look at that, not our situation, but look at it as, man, when I get past this and when I get with God, I'm just going to be so excited. So even this thing that's in front of me, I'm not going to let it stop me. Amen. So we have to have that joy that he had. And it says, despising the shame. Let me just read verse 2 again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay? So, Jesus was an example of endurance. Amen? And we all know that. Jesus was an example for everything in Christ. Right? If you don't know what to do, we used to have the bracelets that said, what would Jesus do? Right? Now, the problem isn't what would Jesus do, it's now, will you do what he did? Right? Because we know what he did if you read the word. Let's go to James chapter 5, verse 7 through 12. This is my last scripture, and then we're going to get out of here. Amen? No, nobody said amen. Well, I can. Oh, man, that was funny. Anyway, it said, okay, we're still talking about our assignment. Here's our assignment. Therefore, be patient. Did we hear that again? Patient. Good Lord. Okay. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Okay. So this is a different patience. Now, we got to wait on God. He's coming, but we must wait. See how a farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, anybody ever had a fruit that was not ripe yet? It don't taste right. It's nasty, right? And then when there's a time where they're ripe, and then even after that, they're nasty again. It ain't called overripe. The ripe is over, right? So God is coming at that perfect time. Amen. He's coming. But that waiting, like if you try to teach your kid to plant a flower or something, that waiting is what they're going, is it there yet, Dad? Why is it taking so long? That patiently waiting is for a good reason. Amen. Because let's say you don't patiently wait and you're like, man, let me go in and see what's going on with that seed. You can mess the whole process up. So we must wait on God the same. Says, be patient and establish your hearts. So that's part of our assignment, establishing our hearts. What does the word establish mean? Come on, somebody help me. Establish. To set up. Get it ready. Put it in place. Your heart has to be in the right place for the return of God. Amen. Do not grumble against one another. This is still part of assignment. Brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Now, you know, when you think about Christianity, suffering and patience, why does that have to be with God, right? But that's because the enemy's trying to stop what you believe. Amen. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. If they didn't endure, we don't count them blessed, right? It says, you have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. So listen, even when you're going through something, there is an end that God has intended for you, right? You see that? God has an intended end for you, and it's an end of, as the word of God says, for I have plans not to harm you, but to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's the plans of God. That's his intended plan. Amen. It says, you have heard the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Okay? So as you're going through this, your assignment, we've heard a lot of different things today about what our assignment is. Number one is to draw near to God. Get close to God. Amen. And endure what you're going to endure by having faith. Amen. And trusting that God has the perfect ending. God is better than any Disney fairy tale or these Hallmark fairy tale, these love stories these days. God got something better than that for you. Amen. If you endure, let us stand. Hallelujah. Dear God, I just thank you for you clarifying what our assignment is, oh God. And I pray, dear God, that you would bring to remembrance what you have called each and every one of us to do, dear God, so that as we even leave this place, that we be on assignment by you, dear God, that we know your will, that we get into your word, that we draw near to you so we can hear you speak. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Anybody would like prayer?
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.